Thank you, Bethany. It is our privilege to have David with us this morning. David, thank you for bringing us God's Word today.
Buenos días. Ah, the Spanish conversation classes are working. Very well. Where's Abner? I know, he's camping. It's an honor and privilege to be here with you this morning. I confess that Pastor Nathan, wow, it's one of my favorite pastors. He's always sharing his hikings and Mount Helen trips, and I was like, wow, so athletic. The most athletic pastors that I ever met. I need to follow his steps. What an honor and blessing to be here with you this morning. I love to drive around this area. I love to be here with you this morning, and I invite you to open your Bibles in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we are just going to read just a few verses. Romans chapter 5, verses 3-5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3-5. And the name of this sermon, the title of this sermon, it is, God has a purpose in your suffering. We are going to talk this morning about suffering and how we can connect our suffering with God, with Christ, and our circumstances. Romans chapter 5, verses 3-5, it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be with my friends, my family, Wisart Lake Chapel. Thank you for this beautiful area. Thank you, Lord, because you are doing so many great things through this church. We pray that you call us to embrace suffering, to just understand how your word, the Bible, talk about suffering and how we can connect this to our faith, our families, our circumstances, and how we can just run to you and say, Lord, you are doing so many great things in our life through the challenges of this world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of the reasons that I decide to choose about these Bible verses, it is because many people talk a lot about suffering. Many people, they want to talk about like how suffering, it's bad or it's good or it's like weird. And the reason that I decide to choose this is because you and I, we live in the United States. We are so exposed every single day through social media, television, the movies, the series, about embrace a kind of perspective about suffering and how you and I, we can respond when life is not going well. And I decide to choose these Bible verses because actually the Bible, it's a book that talks a lot about suffering. It talks a lot about suffer. And you and I, as a Christians, we need to stop a little bit, to stop scrolling our phones a little bit and just open the Bible and say, why this is happening in my life and how the Lord is going to use this to shape my life in the character of Christ. How suffering is going to help me to do something instead to say, oh no, this is happening and this is not great and I don't like this. And you and I open our Bibles and say, wow, actually the Bible have a very clear perspective about how you and I, we can understand suffering. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying this morning to minimize your suffering. Suffering is real. Pain is real. Depression is real. Anxiety is real. Sickness is real. Our feelings or emotions are real, but also the Bible is real. And the Bible will show us that actually from darkness, God will use that suffering to bring glory and redemption to our circumstances. If you think for a second, give me the name of one name in the Bible, of a person in the Bible that they didn't suffer. All people suffer in the Bible. Joseph, Noah, Moses, Jacob, the prophets, Daniel, David, Solomon. the disciples of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So actually, when we open the Bible, we can understand sometimes that, wow, actually the Bible talks a lot or teaches a lot about suffering. So these verses is Paul that he suffered a lot, teaching us through the book of Romans how you and I, we can understand suffering in our life. As many of you know, Romans, they talk a lot of doctrine, but also Romans talk a lot about practical theology, how we can practice what we believe, how we can practice that my life is not in my control. How can I practice that actually life is not going how it's supposed? My marriage is not going how I was just thinking. My studies is not going how I supposed. So we are going to read through these verses, Romans 3 or 5, Romans 5 to 3 to 5, that actually God is doing something good through our sufferings. So in verses 3, 4, and 5, it describes Paul three things. Number one, that suffering helps us to endure. Number two, that suffering builds character. And number three, that suffering gives us hope. Suffering helps us to endure. Suffering builds character. And number three, suffering gives us hope. Verse 3, but that's not all. We rejoice because we know that suffering helps us to endure. So first, Paul is not saying that, you know, suffering feels good. When you have like an accident or you are sick, the perspective of the Bible is not like, yuppie, I'm suffering. I'm here. I'm feeling so alone. I love to be alone. I love that nobody talked to me. Oh, I love to be sick. No. That's not actually the perspective of the Bible. Paul is saying that actually suffering is real. The feeling of being suffering, it's real. But we rejoice because suffering helps us, and this is a special word in the Bible, endure. Endurance. The origin of this word, it's in Greek, that means perseverance. And what Paul is describing it is that suffering in the life of Christian helps Christians to perseverance, to persevere in the life. Let me give you just like a clear example. What will happen with you if you receive everything that you want in life? What will happen if you are driving the car of your dreams? What will happen if you have millions of dollars? What will happen if all your dreams come true? That you can travel wherever you want, when you want? What will happen to you that all your children are perfect, your husband or your wife is perfect? What will happen to you if everything that you desire comes true in your life? And the response is very clear according to the Bible. And I will say this, you are not going to be right now in church. You are not going to be at church. Because if life is going perfect, if your life is perfect, you don't have any need to turn your eyes to God. But God is very intentional to say, no, I will not give you everything that you want because you are not going to turn your eyes to me. And let me give you like a personal illustration. Many of you know me from the last time, I born and raised in Mexico. And I born and raised in a very difficult circumstances. I grew up in a town called Tampico, in front of the Gulf of Mexico, or America, where I don't get offended, no worries. It's fine. And Tampico is a very difficult town because there's a lot of cartels, there's a lot of difficult circumstances in my hometown. But that was not only that. My family, it was very dysfunctional. I grew up without my parents, without my mom and my dad, so I spent my whole childhood very alone with my sister, trying to survive, trying a way to get food and go to a school by ourselves. I remember how many days I just walked by myself to school and my GPA was terrible, but at least I was going to school. And so many times, until today actually, I asked to the Lord, like, why? Why, Lord? Why this suffering? Why I suffered a lot when I was a child? Why I need to start working when I was just 9 years old as a server in an Applebee's? Why, God, you make me to just experience all this misery? And when I read
Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, I discovered that what the Lord was doing in my life is that that's the only way, David, that you are going to turn your eyes to me. If you understand that I am your father, you are not going to need a father, and you are just going to need me. Dear friends, God so many times is going to use suffering in your life that can understand endurance, perseverance, that your Christian faith doesn't depend in your circumstances, are not rooted if you have money or not, it depends in Christ. And so many times, God is not going to give you everything that you want in order to say, I need you. I need that you, Lord, fix my life. I know I need you, that you provide to my family. I need you, Lord, that you heal my heart and produce endurance. Because if you receive everything that you want, you're not going to be in Sunday church. You're not going to open your Bible. You're not going to pray. What's the point of prayer? What's the point of going to church? What's the point to read your Bible? What's the point to confess that Jesus is the Lord if you have everything that you want? But you are here and you understand me that life is not going ever as you think and imagine, that actually it's challenge. Now I'm a father of 4 years old daughter, and it's like, hey, I don't know what to do, Lord. And probably you understand, you feel me. And probably you are here and you understand what is the feeling of not having enough money to provide your family. And you are sitting down here this morning saying, Lord, because I confess that you can provide me. And that's the point of Paul. Paul is saying, we rejoice in our sufferings because allow us to recognize that God is good, that these circumstances will produce endurance in our Christian faith. Because if we are Christians and we just receive all that the world offers, we are not going to be here this morning in the church. Let me give you another illustration, and you are going to identify a little bit too with this. Israel in the wilderness. If you remember, Israel was delivered by God through magnified with signs and wonders, and they were having this like difficult journey in the desert, and during 4 years God was building endurance in them. And if you remember, there's a very funny story in Numbers chapter 11. Israel was tired of Moses. Israel was so tired of being just walking around. And, you know, they were like, hey, we want food. We want great food. And Lord said, oh, you want food? Okay, I will provide you food. And God sent manna, beautiful and great bread. Not better than Mexican bakery, but it was a great bread from heaven. But then very easily they got tired about the bread. And they said, we don't want bread anymore. We want, like, ribeye. We want, like, tomahawk. We want, like, meat. And they asked for something better for sure. And God said, like, okay, you are tired of the bread? Okay, I will give you something better. And he sent meat. But what happened to Israel? He started to getting meat for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. And very easily, they got tired of the meat. And I say, hey, can you please send the bread again? And let me tell you something. Our hearts are like Israel. Our hearts are like Israel. We always want more. We always want more money, more promotions, a better grade, a better GPA, a better clothes, a better parents, a better husband. We always want more money, more status, more recognitions. Our hearts are like Israel. When we receive the blessing, we say very easily, thank you, but I want more. And let me tell you something, God is very intentional to not give you what you want, because he wants you to have here this morning, sitting down in this church and say, I need you, Lord. Suffering is the way that God is using you in your life, because he wants you to endure. He wants you that you can stay close to him in the Christian faith, in the Christian community. Suffering is one of the ways that God used to keep you close to him. It is suffering through suffering that God's reminding us to go to church, open our Bibles, or stay on our knees and pray and say, I need you. When life is easy, we tend to forget him, like Israel. But in hard times, we love and we learn to depend on him. So God will use so many difficult circumstances in your life, but God has been very intentional. God is very intentional to say, David, I want you close to him, to me. David, I want you to go to church. David, I want you that you can open your Bible and read my word. David, I'm sending you these afflictions in order that you can kneel. You can kneel and you just destroy your pride and say, I need you. You need me. So God will frustrate so many of your plans. God will use your financial situation in order that you can stay close to church, close to him, close to your faith, and grow in perseverance. Number two, Paul is saying that suffering builds character, and endurance builds character. Dear friends, when we talk about suffering, not only God is sending you suffering or difficult circumstances just in order that you can come to church or just pray and read your Bible, he's also sending suffering in order that you can be shaped by him. What happened to you? Imagine that just tomorrow you start going to the gym. And imagine that Nathan doesn't invite me to this church in 2 years. And during 2 years you start going every single day to the gym. What will happen to you? I will look at you and say, wow, you look different. Because you are attending the gym every single day. Well, let me tell you something. What God is doing you to suffering is shaping your character. For every suffering, he is doing something through you, in you. Psalms 119, verse 71. This is David, and he's saying, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. What David is saying, through suffering, through the painful, I learn to obey God. And dear friends, suffering helps us to change our habits. Suffering helps us to say no more to these patrons. Suffering helps us to understand that God is different than under circumstances. God will use your suffering to let you grow in areas that you are struggling with. Because when you, if you're struggling with money, what's God going to use? Well, he's going to put you in a very uncomfortable circumstances to understand that I am your provider. If you are struggling with your health, this is hard, but you are going to learn my heal depends on the Lord. If you are having bad times with your family, it's painful. But God is going to shape your character to say, your family, your life depends on me. I am your father. I am your father. You are going to be fine. So maybe God may use your lack of money. Maybe it's going to put you difficult people in your life in order to grow impatient. He may use times when you feel alone to show you that you can just trust in him and satisfy your heart. And dear friends, God is going to use so many circumstances in order to just kneel to him. Let me give you another illustration from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 50, Joseph. And I see like young people here. Let me tell you, Joseph was cute. And Joseph was strong. And Joseph was like a 4.0 GPA. And Joseph was smart and it was athletic. And Joseph, let's say this is just an analogy, but he wore like a beautiful robe, like Abercrombie robe. He was a smart. He was the perfect combination between smart and athletic. He was football player, but he was very like smart. He was the favorite of his father, Jacob. So he was wealth. He was smart. He was strong, and he was a little bit pride too. He started to having dreams about power and leadership under his brothers. He was also betrayed by his own family. He was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused, and he was forgotten in prison for so many years. And if you know the story of Joseph and all the details, he had a great life, but then he started suffering a lot. But God was not absent. He was preparing Joseph. And if you know all the story, I can take like many minutes to talk about the story. But if you know the story, he spent so many years in prison and he found grace through so many people that in a short period, he became the leader of Egypt, a governor in Egypt. And then for some reasons and the providence of God in these circumstances, Israel was having a very bad times with food, and their brothers, they decide to go to Egypt to try to find food for their family. And they didn't know that actually Joseph was the leader, the governor of Egypt. But Joseph was in that story just there, and he knows these people asking for food. And in his mind, he said, like, these are my siblings. Huh. The siblings that they betray me, my brothers. And there is a very famous conversation in Genesis 50:20, because, of course, in the story, Joseph introduced himself to his brother and said, hey, I'm Joseph, your brother. And obviously their brothers, they were scared. So, oh, he's going to kill us. And of course, I think that Joseph inside me, he wants to kill these brothers. But Joseph said in Genesis 50:20, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. So Joseph was saying, you almost killed me, but God used all these difficult circumstances for his glory. I was betrayed for you. I was betrayed in jail. I was betrayed in all these difficult circumstances, and now I am the leader of Egypt, and you are looking for food. I will not kill you. I will give you the food. God is going to redeem your suffering. God is going to, from darkness to glory, make you grow like Joseph. Maybe you are feeling like Joseph when he was in jail. Maybe you are feeling a failure in your life. Maybe you are feeling that you are not doing great things. But let me tell you something. God is going to redeem your sufferings like Joseph, to put you in the position to love people, to take care of people, to understand you, that your character needs to be shaped by him. If you don't have money, that is the way that the Lord will use in understand that he is the provider, and you need to love people, and you need to give to people. God is going to use all the difficult circumstances on your marriage in order that you can grow and say, I need to learn to love you well. And God is going to frustrate the plans of young people here in order that you can understand, God, my life is on your control. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, this is Paul saying, praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father is a merciful God who always gives us comfort. He comforts us when we are in trouble so that we can share this same comfort with others in trouble. Dear church, God is going to send you suffering in your life, and he will comfort you in order that your character be shaped and you can help other people too, like Joseph with his siblings. Paul is not saying that suffering is easy. No, he's saying that in the difficulty, he's going to comfort you and he will let you to help others. So dear friends, you and I, we need to make, we need to go with God, with the Lord, and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? What are you trying to do through these circumstances? Why my marriage is so difficult? Why my parenting is so difficult? Why my 4 years old daughter sometimes is like, ugh! Why I don't have I don't drive the car that I want? Why every time that I have a little bit of money and savings, something happens and I need to use that money? Yeah. Why, Lord? And the response of God is, I'm shaping you. I'm teaching you that you need to depend on me. That my circumstance, your circumstances, are rooted in me. So number one, suffering helps us to endure. Number two, suffering helps us to build character. God is shaping you. And number three, suffering gives us hope. Verse 4 and 5, and endurance builds character, which gives us hope that we will never disappoint us. I truly believe, dear friends, that this is my personal perspective. I don't know what will happen with your life, and I know that probably you already know that life is not in your control. My hope is that you can be accepted in that college that you are applying. My hope is that you can travel where you want to go for vacations. Hope that one day you can improve your financial situation. Hope that one day you can spend more time with your grandchildren, with your family. Hope that one day something is happening better to you. But Paul is using that verses, number one, to let us to endure, to build a character, but also that you and I, we can run to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are my real and only hope. And let me tell you something, suffering clears out our false hopes. Suffering is going to help you to understand that money is not enough, that fame or status is not enough. He is the Lord. He is enough. Money will disappoint you. Your family so many times will disappoint you. Your friends, one day they will disappoint you. But Jesus Christ is not going to disappoint you. And this is our hope, that understand that this world and the things that this world offers you is not your eternal destination. We have in Christ most important things that the world can offer you. All the hardship, all the loss that we face are designed by God to prepare us to our eternal home, heaven. So this is a call for you to not put your hope in anything on earth. Put your hope in Christ. So often, you know, I live in Redmond, and I have my neighbors, and you know, as a Mexican, many people, the first kind of questions that I say, hey, Dad, what's your opinion about political situation? And I'm like, oh, I don't like to talk about that. But in many of my conversations with people, whatever it's American or it's Mexican like me, I live in a neighborhood where 99% of people are from India. I always call these people to say, yeah, we are called to vote. We are calling to make your opinions. Don't put your hope in politicians. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. They will disappoint you in some point. They will disappoint you in some point. Don't put your hope in anything on earth. Put your hope in Jesus Christ, that he went in the cross for you. And he is saying, look, I also suffer, but I suffer for you. I fought for you. So my hope is that great things can happen in your life in Christ. My hope and Paul's hope, it is, whatever it happens to your life, one day you are going home with Jesus. Whatever is your circumstances with your money, your marriage, your children's, all sufferings pale or fade when I put my faith in Christ. Everything is going to be better because I am in Christ. He died for me. He loves me. He's with me. He's going to save me. He's going to provide me. He's going to restore me. He's going to restore my marriage. He's going to restore my relationship with my children. And if that happens very happy, or it's very painful, whatever it happens, Jesus will be with me. John 16:33, it says, I have told you this so you might have peace in your heart because of me. While you are in the world, you will have to suffer. But cheer up, I defeat the world. This is Jesus to his 12 disciples. Jesus is with his disciples, and I can't imagine like Jesus' like thoughts and spending time with their 12 disciples saying like, wow, we are just here sharing food, but in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you are going to suffer a lot. And Jesus is saying, have hope, have peace. You are going to suffer. Jesus is saying, you are going to suffer, but have hope in me. I defeated the world. And this is our hope for today. This is our hope for our lives. This is our hope when we are in college or we are in high school, or if you are retired or you are feeling so alone, that actually Jesus overcome the world for you. He is with you. And verse 5, it says, all this happened because God has given us the Holy Spirit who fills our heart with his love. Dear friends, God is calling you to stay with him. Perseverance. God is calling you to be shaped by him. You are going to be formed by him. But also, he's calling us to put our hope in him, in the cross of Christ. Only he is worthy of our time, our praise. He tried to make us to understand and remind us that we are loved, that we are sealing us, that He loves us, that He is with us. And so when we suffer, when we get sick, when we are upset because our life is not going like my dreams, He says in verse 6, I'm sending you your Holy Spirit who fill your heart with His love. So basically what Paul is saying it is, yes, you are going to suffer. I'm using this for endurance. I'm using this for character. And I'm using this for hope. In verse 5, the good news, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I am with you in every season of your life, in the dark times, in the highest or in the lowest, in the great times or in the most horrible times of your life. My Spirit is with you. So this Sunday, God is calling you to reconsider our own traumas, our sufferings, your scars. God is calling you to trust in Him, trust in Jesus. He's doing His perfect work on you. Whatever it happens to you today, tomorrow, in the next days, whatever it happens to me and my family with our visas or immigration situations, we are going to be okay. You are going to be okay. Your children are going to be okay. Because if you are with Christ, you have the most important that you have. So this is a call from God to you to say, don't be worried anymore. Just rest. I'm in control. I will surprise you. I'm going to do great things. From darkness to glory, from the darkness to light, I will redeem you. And sometimes you are going to be upset because, I was really want to use this money for this. But God is going to say, you are going to use this money for this, and this is the perfect plan. Dear friends, this is God calling us to trust in Him. If you are the first time that you are here in church, I want to invite you to trust in Him, to surrender, to just say, Jesus, I need you. But if you are here and you say, David, I have 45 years of Christian, 55, 60, 65 years of Christian. I have my whole life growing in Christ, and I'm struggling to connect my sufferings with my faith. Let me tell you something. God is going to do something, no matter what season you are. God is going to use your suffering to shape you, to endurance, and that you can put your hope in Christ. Jesus Christ is our hope, dear friends, and that's the most important thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, because sometimes we don't understand why you send these kind of circumstances. Sometimes we get upset, we are frustrated, we are grumpy, Lord. And our prayer it is that you can help us to trust in you. That you can understand that our hope needs to be in you, not in money, nor in a politician, nor in my car, nor in my status, nor in my professional career, in you. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you for all your blessing in our lives, in our families. But Lord, our more important identity is you, not my possessions. So let us embrace suffering. Let us, Lord, have a good theology of suffer, that we can understand that you are using suffering in order to trust in you, to endurance, to build character, in order to put my hope in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.